It must be Saturday night, right? Oh, you guys are all so crazy, I tell you. Someone moved my music stand. See, I have to set this just right now for my eyes. Because I don't have bifocals yet, but I need them. And it's not fun. So I'm truly looking forward to heaven. Now I won't need these glasses anymore. Yeah, I won't need bifocals either, and I won't be getting old and worn out and all that kind of stuff. I asked the guys, they do this song tonight. I want to read you the words to the song. Los Lonely Boys, that's who does this song, in case you want to get their CD. I make a little cut off that, so if you want to buy that CD, that'd be really good. They put some money in my fund. Save me from this prison, Lord, help me get away. Because only you can save me now from this misery. Because I've been lost in my own place and I'm getting weary. How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me? I've been locked up way too long in this crazy world. And I'll just keep on praying, Lord, and just keep on living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me? And I know there's a better place than this place I'm living. And I've just got to have some faith and just keep on giving. How far is heaven? I don't know if you realize this, but heaven is the central, primary hope of the Christian. There is no greater hope in all the world, in the Bible, than the promise of heaven. When Jesus was resurrected and when the disciples saw him leave, the angels said to them, "Why do you gaze into heaven? For the same Jesus who is leaving will return again someday." I want you to pretend with me for just a moment. I want to give you an idea of the power and the impact of heaven in our lives here and now, so that you understand the reason why we're even talking about this. So I want you to pretend for a moment you're a college student, lowly college student. Some of you are. And you're going to need to go to college for 8 straight years. You're going to have to live in a dorm room for 8 straight years with 3 other human beings. It's going to be crowded. You're going to have to sleep on the floor. You're hardly going to have any money at all. And you're going to have to live on rice and beans, cereal, a little milk, and peanut butter and bread for 8 straight years. At the end of these 8 years, there's a 90% chance you're not going to be able to find a job in your vocation of choice. And after all that sacrifice and study, you're going to be stuck for the rest of your life in a vocation that you hate, making hardly any money, and it's going to take you the rest of your life to pay your debt off. Now I want to ask you a question. How many of you would stick with that 8 years of college under that scenario? That's what I thought. Now I'm going to change the scenario just a little bit. Same 8 years of college, same 3 other smelly roommates. Oh, I didn't share that with you earlier, but they will be smelly. Your same concrete floor you're going to have to sleep on, the same rice and beans and peanut butter and milk and cereal. But at the end of the 8 years, you're going to go to work for Google.com in the job that you've always dreamed of, or whatever else you dream of as a job, and you're going to make $1 million a year for the rest of your life, and you're going to be able to live wherever you want to live. You're only going to have to work 40 hours a week. Not going to have to put in 80, 90, or 100. Now let me ask you, into that scenario, how many of you would stick out 8 years of college? Raise your hand. Just participation. Really high. Okay. You'd sleep on the concrete floor. You'd eat the rice and beans. You'd deal with the peanut butter and the 3 smelly roommates. Why? Because of the promise of what's coming. Especially if you knew that Bill Gates had already signed a contractual agreement with you your first day of your freshman year. And it written right in the contract, when you're done, 8 years from now, 1 million a year. If it was a contract and your lawyers examined it and you knew it was a bona fide contract and that Bill Gates was standing behind it, you would really, not only, can I be honest, not only would you endure college, you'd go with a smile on your face. Do you know what I mean? You know, just be an extra lift in your step. Man, I love three smelly roommates. This is a great situation. When I'm done with this, I am going to work for the richest man in the entire world, one of the best companies in the entire world, and I'm going to do what I always loved, and I'm going to live in this beautiful place, and I'm only have to work 40 hours a week, and I'm going to make $1 million a year. That's the power of hope. Now, I'll be very, very honest with you. Most people I know have no hope, even Christians. Even Christians. Because they look around at their life and they look around at their circumstances and we look around at the difficulties that are going on in our life. And man, life is just plain hard. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Since we are God's children, we will share His treasures. For everything God gives to the Son, Jesus, is also ours as well. But if we are to share in His glory, then we must also share in His suffering. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will give us later on. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who His children really are. Against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up into the present time. And we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, we also groan, longing to be released from this body of pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for the day when God will give us our full rights as His children, including the new bodies He has promised us. You see, there's a great contrast here that the Bible gives to us. The contrast of what we have now to contrast it to what we're going to have. And all of us, myself included, we groan, don't we? This life gets so wearisome. It gets so old. It gets so difficult. We're going to talk a little bit about why in a moment. I don't know about you, but I'll be real honest. I don't like my body. I like it less and less the older I get. It's shaped funny ways. I was at a party last night that my family put on for my wife and I's anniversary, and all these good things were there, and people kept offering me all these things and sent me home with all this cake, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to end up wearing that. Why do I want to eat what I'm going to wear? Yeah. But when I was 18, I could eat all the things that were offered me, and I never wore any of it. And now, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. If I just kind of breathe in the aroma, calories come to me through the air. So I try to make an adjustment here and an adjustment there. And I get tired of being sick. I get tired of the hassles of life. I get tired personally of the temptations in life. I'm not a saint in the sense that I never make mistakes. I'm a saint in Christ just like you are, but I'm no angel. And I don't like, oh, look at that, isn't it? And let there be light. That's really amazing. I mean, Kat asked for that light like how long ago? Was that 15 minutes ago? And it's just like, wow. Okay, well, someone up there is going to see there. I tell you. And so if you're like me, every single one of us, you know, you want to do the right thing, but at the same time, there's these wrong things and they pull at you. And sometimes I feel like I'm in the arena of Rome and there's an elephant with a chain on this arm and an elephant on this arm, and it's pulling me in both ways. Paul understood that, and he said, we groan. The entire creation groans. The animals groan. You just don't understand it. The earth groans. The trees groan. They want released. They want the liberation that God has promised to you and me. That day is coming when all pain and all the suffering is going to be gone. And we have these brand new bodies like Christ's body. And there's no more of what we have to deal with all the time on this planet. And again, I'll get to that in a moment. Paul also writes, again, the same author in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, someone may ask, how will the dead be raised? What kind of bodies will they have? What a silly question. When you put a seed in the ground, it doesn't grow into a plant unless it dies first. And what you put in the ground is not the plant that grows up, but only a dry little seed of wheat or whatever that you are planting. Then God gives it a new body, just the kind he wants it to have. A different kind of plant grows from each kind of seed. And just as there are different kinds of seeds and plants, so also there are different kinds of flesh, whether human, animal, bird, or fish. There are bodies in heaven as well, and there are bodies of earth. The glory of the heavenly body is different from the beauty of the earthly body. The sun has one kind of glory, while the moon and stars have another kind. And even the stars differ from each other in their beauty and brightness. In the same way, the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies will die and decay, but they will be different when they are resurrected, for they will never die. Our new bodies, the bodies we have now, disappoint us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be full of power. They are natural human bodies now, but when they are raised, they will be spiritual bodies. Just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. The scripture tells us the first man, Adam, became a living person, but the last Adam, who is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What came first was the natural body, then the spiritual came later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Every human being has an earthly body just like Adam's, but our heavenly bodies will be just like Christ. Just as we are now like Adam, the man of the earth, so we will someday be like Christ, the man from heaven. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These perishable bodies of ours are not able to live forever. But let me tell you a wonderful secret God has revealed to us. Not all of us will die, but all of us will be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, the Christians who have died will be raised with transformed bodies. And then we who are living will be transformed so that we will never die. For our perishable earthly bodies must be transformed and the heavenly bodies that will never die. When this happens, when our perishable earthly bodies have been transformed into heavenly bodies that will never die, then at last the scripture comes true. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. How we thank God who gives us victory over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and steady, always enthusiastic about what you're doing for Christ, for you know that nothing you do in the Lord is ever useless. Why? Because these college years called Christianity, you can end up with $1 million a year for eternity. And as I told you last week, in case you weren't here, you're not going to be some floaty little person on a cloud in some white stupid toga. You're going to have an entirely new universe that is yours. The Bible promises in Revelation 21, a new heavens and a new earth. New ocean, new animal life, new plant life, new kinds of food, new forms of music. all kinds of things to engage yourself and busy yourself with throughout all eternity. And all of it will be free. All of it. And God is going to give you and I a body like Christ who raised from the dead. When Jesus raised from the dead, there's a few interesting things to understand about his new body. First of all, Jesus is the only body in heaven who have any scars. He will bear them throughout all eternity. It's a reminder of the kindness of God to us. But when Jesus was raised to newness of life, he had a body. And he ate, remember, with the disciples? He sat down and had fish with them. And he ate. His new body could handle food. And then, when he wanted to be gone, he was gone. Just gone. Time travel, space travel. He defied the laws of the natural world. And he's walking on the road to Emmaus. And then gone. And he's over here. Then gone. And he's over here. You will have that same kind of body that will be transformed. And it will have the spiritual qualities and the heavenly body qualities that Christ himself possessed. When the disciples watched him for 40 days after he raised from the dead to newness of life. Heaven will be, I want you to think about this. Heaven will be no pain. There will be absolutely no pain in heaven. There will be no sickness ever. I was visiting with my mother, who was in town last night for this party and this morning. And she said, you know, Mark, so much has changed since I was a little girl. She said, I remember living in Cedar Rapids, Iowa when I was young, 8, 9, 10. And she said, we did have swimming pools back in those days, Mark. And she said they had to close them all because of what was called infantile paralysis, which is another name for polio, but they didn't call it polio then. And she said, Mark, everyone in town was scared to death their children were going to get polio. She said, when I was growing up, about every other person I knew had someone in their family who had polio. Now, of course, most of you don't know anyone who has polio, but maybe you know someone with cancer or heart disease or some other form of sickness they have to deal with on a regular basis. There will be no sickness, no stomach aches, no allergies, no sinus problems, no bugs biting you, giving you a Lyme disease, no mosquitoes. There will be no tears. There will be no tears. Tears of sadness. There will be no sorrow. There'll be nothing that will ever, for forever, make you sad or hurt or broken. There will be no death, no loss. Many of you here have lost someone you loved. There will be no death. Death will be conquered once and for all. There will be a new world order in heaven, and death has no place and will not be allowed to dwell there. There will be no old age. Scholars believe, I happen to be one of those who agree with them, that every person in heaven will be neither old nor young, or should I say old or infantile, but at that perfect age, somewhere probably between 25 and 35. Adult, mature, able to take in all that's going on in heaven. You'll be able to recognize your loved ones. People that you were so close to here, and yet things still come between us, don't they? Even the people that we love, heaven, nothing will ever come between you. There will be no evil. I cannot wait for the day there will be no evil. If you're like me, and I think a lot of you are, maybe all of you in this regard, in the book of Peter, we find the story of Lot. Some of you remember Lot was Abraham's brother. And Lot lived in this terrible, evil, wicked, awful, awful, wicked, decadent place called the United States. No, sorry, it was Sodom and Gomorrah. Good old Sodom and Gomorrah, where we get the name Sodomite. I won't give you any more details, but that's where it comes from. The people were exceedingly wicked, the Bible says, in every way. They were proud, they were insolent, they were arrogant, they were immoral, all kinds of things. And they would not turn to God. So God came to Lot and said, I'm going to destroy them. Get out of town. Do you know what the Bible says, though, about Lot's life there? Here's what it says. It says, night and day, Lot's righteous soul was tormented by the lawless deeds of wicked men. Now, I don't know about you, and I want you to take this wrong, but the more that you grow up into righteousness, the more tormented you're going to be by what you see on television and what you see in the streets and what you hear going on in this world. It makes me sick and it torments me and it bothers me, and I'm looking forward to the day it's gone. It's all gone. All the evil is gone. You, brother and sister, listen to me carefully. You and I need to understand what it's going to be like to be in a place in Revelation 21 where it says righteousness is at home. Righteousness is not at home in this nation. It's not at home in this country. You are made to feel ashamed if you believe that life is precious. You are made to feel ashamed and a bigot if you believe that God made marriage for a man and a woman. You are made to feel ashamed if you love righteousness and hate iniquity. One day, there'll be no one making you feel ashamed, because there will be no place in heaven at all for the wicked and the immoral and the carnal and the fleshly and the worldly. They won't be there. Is that hate? That's not hate. Let me tell you something about love. Do you know one of the godly attributes of love? Love rejoices with the truth, but hates what is evil. Do you want to know if you're a great lover? Just try to measure the depth of your hate. And if there aren't things in your life, things in this life that you genuinely hate, I don't mean hate like I go out and kill. I mean, that's repulsive to me. Then you're not a very loving person. And we need to grow. Heaven's going to be a place of incredible righteousness. There'll be no sorrow, no grief, no disappointment. No disappointment. You ever been disappointed? Like really disappointed? Can I just be honest with you? I'm disappointed every day of my life. Every day of my life. Last night I was at this party. My daughter organized this party. Months she worked and worked and worked. Bless her heart. It was supposed to be tonight. She sent out all these programs, and then I found out, I didn't know there was a party or anything, because it's a big surprise, see, that the carnival was last night. So we had to change the date of the rock till tonight. She cried through the whole service when she found that out. I didn't know she was crying. I couldn't offer any comfort because I didn't know it was a party. Was it disappointing? Yes. Do we learn to flex with disappointment? Yes. Last night, they handed me my son's guitar, said, sing. And I was like, beads of sweater getting on my forehead. I'm like, oh, you know, thinking to myself, I don't want to do this. I want my guitar. I do not want to play this steel string guitar. It's going to hurt my fingers and I'm going to be sloppy. And I hate sloppy. And my voice kind of hurts right now. And it's not going to be perfect. And I want perfect. I mean that. You have no idea how torturing it is for me, or you fellow artists out there, or sister artists out there, you know what I'm saying. I have never in my life been able to sing one time where I walked away and thought, that was amazing. It was just the way I wanted. The right flex, the right intonation, the right structure, and I move people. Never. I fail every time. And I hate it. I hate it. I despise it. There's not one day I look in the mirror and go, oh, well, you're okay. I mean that. You remember old Mick Jagger's song? I can't get no satisfaction. Listen, that's the truth. That isn't a lie. That's the truth. There is no satisfaction in this life. We get, you know, little things once in a while go sort of right. We're kind of like, our life is like we're a painter. And we're trying to finally make this perfect picture. And every time we think we get it right, some idiot comes along and bumps our hand on the painting. My first girlfriend, bless her soul. She was special. And so I took her to the fair. And so $100. In those days, that was a lot of money to spend in one night on your girlfriend. It's just the way I always was. I got money, I spent it. So I took Gwen out to the fair, and we're going on all these rides. And we get to one of those old trash can barrels where they spin that thing and you squirt paint. And it's, well, never mind. But I was really into that kind of stuff. You squirt it and all this abstract stuff, and it makes this swirly, cool, neat stuff. So I spent like $50 there. It's really stupid. But anyway, I did. So I'm squirting these ketchup bottle things with paint. And then they put them in a little frame, and you stack them so they dry. And I get down to my last one, and I look over, and she's leaning like this. Every single one of them stuck together, all $50 gone, because she leaned in the middle of them and had to throw them all away. You know, I let it go because I'm a really patient guy. I just let it go. But you know, that is a picture of my life. I mean that. It's a picture, genuine picture of life. The only bright spot in my life, the only one, is the glimmer that since Christ has come into my life. And there are, I'm not saying there haven't been blessings in my life. They're blessings, but they're always blessings with the marring feature of sin attached. One day on the other side, I'll give a concert, and it's going to go exactly to every breath, every word, every intonation, and every pluck of the string the way I want it to go. There'll be no weird feedback. And Chad knows about that, how frustrating that can be. All of a sudden you're up and you blank out and the words are gone. There'll be complete and total fulfillment of our deepest desires. There'll be no loneliness, no stress, no burdens, no responsibilities, no bills to pay, no car, stupid car that breaks down on you, you have to fix. No oil to change. No fuel filters to change. No furnace filters to change. There'll be no problems like that. There'll be no problems to solve. There'll be no persecution. There'll be no fear. Nothing to be afraid of. You will walk and stand on the edge of the new mountains that God makes for you to roam. You won't need ropes to climb. You won't be afraid of the edge. You'll be able to go into the ocean or to the highest mountain. You're not going to be afraid of crowds anymore. There'll be no hurt feelings. You ever had your feelings hurt? You ever been betrayed? There'll be no betrayal. There'll be no harsh words, no suspicions. Wouldn't it be great to have relationships people would just weren't suspicious? No insecurities. You ever try to have a friendship with someone who's insecure? Maybe you are insecure. You know, we all have probably in varying ways insecurities. Man, is it tough sometimes to have a marriage when a person's insecure? No lies, no deceit, no mistrust, no envy, no jealousy. No comparing. You won't be sitting in a corner looking at their body, then looking at yours and going, oh, God, I suck. You won't. You won't be walking by the magazine cover going, oh, God, I never could look like that. Just won't be. You have perfect smile, perfect hearing. You can have ultrasonic hearing. You have perfect toes. going to be pretty toes. Mine have fungus and are really ugly. Hey, I didn't ask for it. And I just want you to know that yours have fungus too. Because Bedias told me that all of us have fungus on our toes. It's just some of us, it goes down in there deep and makes the toenail really funky weird. Ain't going to happen. There's going to be no hate. No hate. No hate. No hate at all. There's going to be no anger, no false accusations, no slander. Nobody's saying mean things about you behind your back. No gossip. Did you hear about so-and-so? And all this stuff spreads and it comes back to you and just knocks you down. There's going to be no meanness, no cruelty. You'll be surrounded by the most loving people all the time. All the time. You'll be surrounded by these people who love you. There will never be, listen to this, this is a beautiful thing. There will never, ever be, for a bazillion eternities, one relationship problem ever. There won't be any. There won't be any. And I just be honest, the most painful things in my life have not been circumstances, they've been people. And the same is true with you. Give me the car problem, give me maybe a little money problem, but please keep the people problems. Because they go deep, don't they? They go way down inside and they hurt. Have you ever tried sometime to think to yourself, oh, let's see, when was the last time somebody gave me a compliment? And, you know, we can all think at times, but if I ask you, tell me the four most devastating things that ever happened to you by somebody else, oh man, you just rattle them off. Man, I can remember. I don't want to remember. I mean, I try to forget. But I can remember the mean, cruel, terrible things done to me like they're right there. I'm like, God, I don't want to remember that. It's right there. One day, they'll be gone. Because all that cannot exist in heaven. Only love. Only genuine peace and harmony and unity. In other words, just like the Father, Son, Holy Spirit are united together, there's no rift in their relationship, no misunderstanding, there won't be with us in heaven. We'll never be bored. Ever been bored? This life sometimes gets so boring. You'll always feel richly satisfied. You'll have all the time you want for relationships with others, and nothing will ever get in the way. Sometimes, don't you just want, you know, sometimes we get moments. Last night was one of those moments for me. It's just kind of like, I wished I wasn't getting tired. I wish we could just stay in this moment. I wish none of us had to go to a job. I wish, you know, we could all just stay in this little bubble of niceness right now. But alas, we have to leave. And then things, you know, get misconstrued. They happen, and the next thing you know, there will never be anyone finding fault with you in heaven. Never. Chad will never have someone come up to him again and go, you know, you really could have done that song this way, or it could have been done that way, or if you just had done this or done that, it'd be like, wow, Chad, it was phenomenal. That was tremendous. Way to go, man. Everybody you meet in heaven will be for you. They'll be for you. And they'll be rejoicing in your joys. They'll only have good, kind things to say about you. You'll be rewarded and honored by God for all you've endured here and done for Him. Can I just ask you an honest question? Have you ever thought to yourself like me? Man, I just wish people really knew what I had to go through. I just wish somebody, you know, just understand what I just did for them and, you know, pat you on the back. Can I just be honest? Now, sometimes that can be selfish, but on the other hand, if you're doing it for God, you're not selfish. He is going to stand you up on a podium, and everybody's going to know all the good, wonderful things that you did. None of the bad. They're going to know all the good, wonderful things. That little card you gave to someone, or helping that neighbor or staying extra at work when you weren't asked. A cup of cold water given to someone who needed it. Every little minuscule thing that you think sometimes, I wish someone knew, you know, that I just got that coffee for my mom or I just sent this, but you know, it doesn't seem like anything I do really matters. God is recording it in a book and it matters and He's going to reward you on a podium for it. Everything you endured, that's a whole nother issue. You know, all the wrongs that have been done to you, that you've suffered, God sees them. He writes them down and He's going to reward you for them. Every single one. Did you know the book of Psalms says He collects your tears in a bottle? The tears of your life. Now, I don't know about you, but maybe you haven't had many tears. Maybe you have. I've had a lot of tears in my life. And I want to tell you the secret to my sanity. It's everything I'm sharing with you right now. It's heaven. It's knowing, you know what, Lord Jesus? You do understand me. You do know what I just went through. And you're collecting it. And you're writing down in a book. And all my tears, they matter to you. This pain matters to you. Therefore, I don't need it to matter to you. Because it matters to Him. Someday, you're all going to know about it. And I'm going to know about yours too. And we're going to be complimenting one another, high-fiving one another. Like, man, you did it! All that stuff that happened to you on earth, look what Jesus just gave you. And you're going to be so glad. You're going to be glad. You're going to be so glad that if God didn't give you a new body, you'd be like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Total Recall when you got in the new atmosphere. Your eyes would bug out and you'd explode. Do you remember that? Don't see Total Recall, but it's one of those bizarre movies. But he's on Mars and he accidentally gets shot out this side of the building onto the red planet. And his body can't handle it. And it's starting to blow up and his eyeballs are starting to bug out. And then he gets back in some oxygen because, well, what happens? I won't tell you the story. Anyway. I think the same thing would happen with you and I if the Lord didn't give us new bodies. Focusing on heaven helps us have the right perspective and expectations now on earth because we realize earth is not heaven. You see, can I tell you another secret to my life? For the last 30 years following Christ, that's been it. That's what helps keep me going is yes, I have disappointments, but even in my marriage, the big secret to my marriage is lowering the expectations. Kathy is not a god. She's not even an angel. She's a sinful woman saved by the grace of God. I'm a sinful man saved by the grace of God. And we're going to wrong each other. And we're going to hurt each other. And one day I'm looking forward to the day I don't wrong her anymore. I don't hurt her anymore. Do you know? I wish I could stay here all night with you guys. Do you realize in heaven, Kathy and I will be closer and more in love than we are now? There will be absolutely nothing coming between us. I will love her more then. She will love me more then. But she will also love all these other people as well. And we will have exclusive memories that we share that no one else did. But at the same time, our relationship will be open to all in a holy and righteous way. Heaven is the most extraordinary place. It's the most extraordinary place. Next week, I'm going to talk about the greatest feature of heaven. What is the greatest feature of heaven? We've talked about the new places we're going to see. We've talked about the fact that we're not going to have to work and we're not going to have problems and all these things will be gone. Men and women, listen, I'm not very good, to be honest. I'm very limited as a communicator. God is not. I'm trying in some way to help your mind, help you wrap the hands of your mind around this concept so that when you go to bed tonight and you get up tomorrow and to bed tomorrow night and get up the next day, that you're filled with a new sense of hope, that you're able to live in that new reality, that you realize that all the things in this world, they're all going to burn. Why slave away for the things that are going to burn? I close with this little analogy. When you were a little kid, remember going to the grocery store and always on the way out of the grocery store are all those little gumball thing machines with all little trinkets in them, the toys? You know, the ones that are in those plastic bubbles? and you put a quarter in or 50 cents. And you remember how many times your mom and dad, you go by, Mommy, Mommy, and you're pulling your mom's arm. Can I have one of these? Can I have one of these? Anybody do that? Is I the only one? Okay, it's one other person. Thank you for raising your hand there. No, I'm teasing. I see three more. And so, we're going by those things. Why? Because we wanted them. And what always happened, every time I bought one for my children, I have children, every time I bought one, you'd get it home and it would break immediately. Anybody have that happen? It would break immediately. Or it got lost. How many of you walk by the gumball machines right now and every time you walk by them, you're really tempted to put 50 cents in and get one of those plastic things? I'll pray for you guys. I'm glad the majority of you didn't raise your hand. For those that did, you need counseling and just call me, okay? Here's my point. When I was a child, I thought as a child. And the things that appeal to children appealed to me. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. In other words, why in God's name would I want trinket from the gumball machine? I'm 47 years old. Why do I want a little plastic ring that goes back and forth with a little hologram thing image on it? Let me tell you a secret. I'm 47 years old, and I can walk by the car lot, and it doesn't bother me. And I can walk by Best Buy, it doesn't bother me. You know why? I can walk by in the nice neighborhoods and walk around the lake, and I could care less who lives on Lake Harriet. You know why? Because it's a ghetto compared to where I'm going and what I already have in Christ. It's a ghetto. The trinkets of this life do not appeal to me because they're going to burn. They're going to rust. The moth is going to grow and the dust is going to collect and thieves steal it and it gets rusty and broken down. Doesn't last. That's the power of heaven. That's the power. It's kind of like it lifts you. I'm talking about your spirits now. It lifts your spirit on a magic carpet and gives you the ability to hover where others are trudging through the mud of life. You're hovering on the knowledge and the realization that by faith, I got an extraordinary place that I'm going. And it's mine. The Bible says it's mine. And I'm going to live in that reality. It's going to be a reality. It's coming soon. Fact of the matter is Jesus could come any day and take us. It's only a matter of time. With Him, there is no time for Him. It's only a matter of moments. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You tonight for Your Word, for the hope that Your Word gives to us, the joy that Your Word gives to us, the power that Your Word gives to us, the courage that Your Word gives to us, the peace that Your Word gives to us. Lord, as I'm sharing tonight, of course, there are two realities in my life and in each of our lives. There's the carnal reality, the reality of my flesh that experiences all these sorrows and pains and whatever. But there's also the new mark. That spiritual reality that brings me into the joy of Christ, the comfort of Christ, the peace of Christ. Jesus, I'm reminded of Your words when You told Your disciples, You said, hey guys, don't be afraid. Don't let your hearts be troubled. There's a lot of troubling things in this world, Lord. I admit that to You. We all admit that to You. There's a lot of troubling things, but You said, don't be troubled. But remember this. I'm going to prepare a place for you. In my Father's home are many rooms, and when I go, I will return to bring you where I am. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, Father, that if there is no resurrection of the dead, if there is no heaven, then we are the most pitiable people in the world. Christianity, it would be a joke, it's a crock, it's stupidity, and we ought to go eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul said. But there is a resurrection. There is a new life. There is eternity. We do get a new body that will never grow old and never get tired and never get sick. and we will be living with you, exploring all these new worlds, building new things, developing new crafts and skills, and enjoying in a perfect way things that we wanted to enjoy here but were frustrating. Will be things to build and instruments to play and new kinds of sports and animals and plants and new things to discover. Lord, I can't wait. I say with the Apostle John in Revelation, Maranatha, come quickly, Lord Jesus. It'd be great with me if you were back tomorrow. It'd be great with me as if I'm driving home tonight. You just took me and left these clothes right there on that seat. And I was meeting my brothers and sisters here tonight and from all over the world in the clouds, in the air, our new bodies, and we just there were in heaven. I just ask you, Lord, you touch each life with the reality of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.